migrant workers never really have a place to call home. They can't afford to pay for multiple apartments or houses that they would only live in a few months or weeks out of the year. And it's hard to find hotels to stay in when you're traveling from state to state, usually during peak tourism seasons. That's why farms that hire migrant workers often provide housing for very low prices or even for free. But as the saying goes, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Our house was not even a house. We live in this raggedy old place. It's unbelievable. I don't see how people can live in it. But it's our way of life. We have no other option.
That's Elizalde Ramirez Vasquez, the undergrad from MSU we met earlier. Over winter break, Ramirez Vasquez harvested tobacco in Kentucky. He worked 12 hours or more every day for 3 weeks straight. He cut the tobacco stalks and had to pick each tobacco leaf off the stalk by hand. Harvesting tobacco can be painful, even dangerous. Ramirez Vasquez recorded some of his experiences along the way.
And now I'm taking a break from cutting tobacco. And I've already counted, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blisters on my hand already. And they're just about ready to pop, and they ache so bad. My back is killing me.
Ramirez Vasquez grew up doing this work and says he's been hospitalized twice for tobacco poisoning he got while harvesting. Because tobacco can get absorbed through your skin. So when you're handling it as many hours as Ramirez Vasquez, getting tobacco poisoning is not uncommon. And there are other side effects as well.
It's hell. My face doesn't stop burning. My eyes don't stop stinging.
The work is not pretty, and neither was the house where he stayed while he worked the tobacco fields. It was provided by the farm.
And here's the where you wash the dishes.
When Ramirez Vasquez got back from break, he showed me pictures of the migrant camp. Broken wires dangle from the ceiling where a light should be. Some walls are covered with water damage. Others have insulation sticking out. The floor is covered with dirt, and in the dead of winter, the place does not have heat.
I walked in the house. It was like 34 degrees outside. It was colder in the house because the house had a cement floor on the bottom. So it was like 10 degrees less in the house. I could see my breath when I walked inside. I could see my breath as I went to my bed.
Ramirez Vasquez shows me pictures of the bathroom.
And that's the bathtub.
Oh,
they use field water jugs.
There aren't any faucets, and there are big buckets in the tub. The shower doesn't work. Ramirez Vasquez says back in high school, he and his family would just use the lake near the camp to bathe.
So that lake was like our restroom, the side of the woods, and our bathing area. And I would just go to school, and I would see everybody else just walking in with expensive cologne or the girl's expensive perfume. And I would say to myself, wow, these people are so lucky. And they were so lucky to me because they had nice homes and they were able to take warm showers during the cold winter nights. But not me.
And remember the Hamiltons who picked blueberries? Randy Hamilton Jr. and his dad say they have similar horror stories.
I mean, some of the housing conditions they provide you with is no good. The toilets are broke. You touch the doorknobs, the door falls off.
You got a raccoon coming up through the hole of the zinc. Yeah. You got the door falling off. I mean, you got the roof leaking, you got the screens off the windows. I mean, that's what we went through.
But not all migrant housing is terrible.
And this unit's set up for a large family, actually, where there's a door in between.
I'm tagging along on a migrant housing inspection at Uncle John's Cider Mill, 30 miles north of Lansing. We're in the kitchen of one of the migrant camps that are owned by Mike Beck.
It's very much like a snowmobile cabin that I go to up north and use myself a lot.
The place isn't fancy, but at least it's homey. There are family pictures on the refrigerator. The kitchen is decorated with wallpaper and curtains with farm and apple designs on them. There are individual bedrooms and a living room with furniture and a TV that are a little outdated, but it's clean.
We'll start with the kitchen now, that since we're by the kitchen here. What we look at is the refrigerator, for one thing. We make sure.
Andy Raymond is one of the migrant housing inspectors for the state of Michigan. He's inspecting Beck's migrant camp. Raymond and six other people make sure that 850 migrant camps across the state are up to code and licensed before the season begins. That's a lot of camps, but it's better than a few years ago when there were fewer than half the inspectors there are now.
We've made a lot of headway and there's still room for improvement, but with more staff, we're going to be able to really address some of the things that have been lacking in the past.
For example, when there was only a staff of 3 for the whole state, the camp inspectors couldn't check back in on housing conditions once the season began. And that's when a majority of the problems happen. It used to be if some of the housing ended up getting licensed but still needed more work to be done, there was never a follow-up to make sure it happened. But finally this year, Raymond and his crew were able to do in-season inspections. But providing workers with decent housing isn't cheap. Craig Anderson is with the Michigan Farm Bureau. He says just basic maintenance costs around $1,000 for each housing unit a farmer has.
So if you look at $1,000, that's a pretty significant cost that employer is bearing.
And Mike Beck, the owner of Uncle John's Cider Mill, says he pays about that much in just monthly utility costs for the dozen or so workers on his farm.
If a grower wants to exist, he knows that in the specialty crop world anyway, he has to have housing available, so he has to build that in.
But Beck says if he doesn't provide housing, he won't have workers. And Beck has a pretty good relationship with his workers, partly because of the housing he provides them. The pictures on the refrigerator in the kitchen are of the family that's been coming to work for Beck and live in this house for over a decade.